selling socially, I think it's about education is the forefront. So it's creating not only content that is compelling, but also informative, and trying to be a thought leader, but walking that fine line between sales, because that is your question, right? Yeah. And that education. So I think that if you build rapport, you provide good resources to people, naturally they'll want to buy from you.
Welcome to the Making Sales Social podcast, featuring the top voices in sales, marketing, and business. Join Bryn Tillman and me, Bob Woods, as we each bring you the best tips and strategies our guests are teaching their clients, so you can leverage them for your own virtual and social selling. Enjoy the show.
Welcome back to Making Sales Social. I'm excited for my guest today, Jason Kramer. He's the founder of Cultivize, a consulting firm that specializes in B2B lead nurturing strategies and technology. He's got over 15 years of experience running a creative agency. Jason identified revenue gaps in marketing and sales funnels for distributors, service providers, marketing agencies, and manufacturers. He launched Cultivize to provide customized solutions and empower businesses to connect prospects and customer data with marketing campaigns and sales team activities. When not strategizing in CRM, Jason enjoys family time with his wife, two kids, two dogs, and their lively New York home. Welcome to the show, Jason. Thrilled to have you here.
Bryn, thrilled to be here. Thank you.
So excited to talk about the topic today of building a sales process that scales. But before we jump into the questions, we ask all of our guests one question, which is, what does making sales social mean to you?
That's a great question. And I will say that I will try to have a great answer. So when I think of selling socially, I think it's about education is the forefront. So it's creating not only content that is compelling, but also informative, and trying to be a thought leader, but walking that fine line between sales, because that is your question, right? Yeah. And that education. So I think that if you build rapport, you provide good resources to people, naturally they'll want to buy from you.
Great answer. I love that. And as a digital marketer, I think you'd have a great answer. So I have a few questions I want to dive into, and I love this idea of building a sales process that scales, right? So many businesses, they'll have a sales process. Maybe mm-hmm. they have some campaigns that go along with that process, but the idea of getting that to scale is just delicious to every entrepreneur and salesperson out there. So I want to start with a question in your experience. What are the key components of a sales process that ensures it can scale effectively, inside of that business?
Well, the one thing you don't want to have is all of the insight and skill, dependent upon one person. So if you have one great sales leader or one great salesperson that's got all the bag of tricks inside their brain and it hasn't been documented, well, that can't scale, right? Because you're limited to that one person. So the things that we look for are, is there a process in place that identifies what are the steps needed so as the sales team grows, everybody can follow the same process? You know, that could be email scripts, phone scripts, how to use the CRM that they have, all the proper training. Those are all vital things. Social selling, of course, as well, which I know is your avenue of expertise. So that's where you start, right, is having those fundamental blocks.
So I love that. So there are a few questions that come to mind. I'm going to start on that customer journey alignment, right? Sure. So, as businesses scale, maintaining a personalized customer journey can be quite challenging, right? So how do you ensure that your sales process aligns with the buyer process and what the buyer wants?
Well, and that's great that you said what the buyer wants. So I think that, and it's not just me, you talk to any industry expert, the buyer is definitely in control in the last decade. They're calling the shots. They're letting you know what they want, when they want it. And so you have to understand that. And at the same time, you might be dealing with different types of buyers, personality-wise, as well as even different target audiences. So it's not just having the sales scripts in the playbook, but it's more about the technology, I think, Bryn, as a big component, and having even something simple as what we call dynamic content, where if you're sending your first sales email to a sales manager versus a marketing manager, the language automatically changes in your email to fit their needs, their pain points, and speaks to what they want to hear versus what the other person wants to hear. Unfortunately, a lot of companies don't have that sophistication. So then you ask, well, what can you do in that case? Well, you just have different templates, right? To say, okay, if we're talking to this type of customer, this is the language you need to use. Whereas if it's this type of customer, this is the language to use. And having the arsenal and that toolbox of more than just a screwdriver and a hammer will certainly help you communicate more effectively.
I love that. I want to go down that path a little more. So what role do technology and digital tools play specifically in scaling? And part two to that is, where is AI fitting into all of that?
Yep. I knew the AI question was coming. I wasn't sure it was coming this early, but I knew it was going to come. So technology is really important. I mean, for a few factors. So one is, for scalability, you need to have some type of system. You can't just rely on every team member using Outlook and a Google spreadsheet, and it's just a recipe for disaster. So there has to be some level. It doesn't have to be a $200,000 Salesforce implementation, but it's got to have some level of sophistication to help that team grow and give them the tools they need to be more productive. Because at the end of the day, a salesperson's job is to sell. It's not to write emails. It's not to do all these like technical things that should be done for them. So that's certainly a piece of it. The other piece of technology is beyond CRM, you know, even something as simple as scheduling calls. Are they using a Calendly or whatever else it might be, right? There's hundreds of them. But if they're not doing that and they're manually scheduling calls, well, that's not a good use of their time. So when we talk about technology, it's all the little pieces that come into it. Even, you know, we're talking on Zoom today. So there's tons of technology that play a really important role in making the sales job more effective. Now, your second question, AI is certainly yet another powerful tool, but it's got to be used within reason and it's got to be used when appropriate. I've seen all sorts of AI tools out there. We use them ourselves for certain aspects. But at the end of the day, you got to know how to use the tool and when it applies, right? And so asking AI to write a LinkedIn post or a blog post for you, it can do that. But is it going to be your voice? Is it going to represent who you are? Probably not, right? So you need to kind of feed it with prompts and know how to use the tool, just like any technology. And I think that's the risk in my version of thinking about AI, Bryn, is AI, ChatGPT, for example, super easy to use, meaning you could go in there and type something and it'll spit out a response within two seconds. But just because it's easy to use doesn't mean that you're using it the right way. And so that's the fear I have with a lot of business technology. It's so simple to use, but I'm a big believer, and this is a saying I always have that I'll put on in conversation, is that technology and software doesn't solve problems, right? Us people, we are the problem solvers. You know, the technology is just a tool. So if you're not understanding how to use the technology, AI being one of them, then it's probably going to cause more harm than good.
Interesting. So I just share one of the things that we do.
Yeah.
Is we tell folks, go on to Zoom, record your thoughts on a topic, grab the transcript, and use that inside of ChatGPT and tell it, do not research, use this transcript only, pull out quotes, create a blog. And we tend to get things a little bit more in their authentic voice.
Yeah. I mean, if you can feed it, if you can almost write, you know, like a bio about yourself and put that as a, save as a prompt, and then even say, hey, ChatGPT, go check out our company website, this specific page. If you're using version 4, it can do that. Of course, that's paid, but it's a great
aspect. Worth it. I know. I mean, it's worth it. Search is Bing. You know?
It's so much more worth it. Absolutely. But the point is, like, again, it goes back to the prompts. If you can educate it and make sure it understands who you are, who your audience is, and what you're trying to do, then it can be a very effective and time-saving tool.
So how does that play if I go back to you talking about having templates in place for sales leaders or CEOs, right? So you've got these different persona. Does AI play well in that realm, in that message writing
realm? I mean, it's in there, right? So even, you know, some of the CRM systems we use for clients, there's an AI component built into the email designer even, where it's, you know, you instead of typing into a box or copying and pasting from a copy deck, you can have AI generate a headline or generate copy. But again, it's about the prompts, it's about the tools. So I would say that they're probably more likely less used in those applications, like if you're designing an email or building a web page of that sort. But certainly in the world of social, you know, if you're responding to a comment, there's a lot of tools I've even seen on platforms, LinkedIn being one of them, where you could just, so, you know, have AI say, I want my comment to be funny, I want it to be serious, I want it to be this or that. And then it'll generate a comment, you know, that instead of writing your own comment, you know. So there's a lot of it out there, and it's only going to grow exponentially, you know, as time goes on, for sure.
So how, you know, you mentioned briefly that AI is kind of playing inside of your CRM. If you had a crystal ball and you said, this is how AI is really going to help sellers scale even faster, better, stronger in the CRM, what do you see coming down the pike?
I mean, in terms of AI, I think if anything, maybe being able to generate more sales content materials, you know, I think would be the place. Like, so for example, I know even ChatGPT is really good. Like if you had, let's say, for example, this conversation and you took the transcript and you told ChatGPT, I want you to turn this into a white paper about AI and the use of AI in CRM, right? It would do that in a pretty good job. And then you could take that and then you could go to something like Canva and say, hey, Canva, take all this content and now make a beautiful, you know, really sexy ebook for me. And it'll do that really quickly, right? So
you do it all the time.
Know, right. So, I mean, all those things exist if you know how to use them and in what combination they need to be used. Will that get easier? Yeah, I'm sure it will, right? You'll have, you know, ChatGPT combined to Canva, combined to three other tools, and now it's just one big mega tool that can do it all. That certainly, I think, has its place down the road. But for now, I think it's knowing what to steer clear from. There's a lot of noise, right? So it's just trying to find the right tools for the right job.
So I tell you my wish list for the CRM in 2026, let's say. Okay. My wish list is based on the persona inside of the organization, the stage that we're in, the length of time since we last connected, the amount of outreach. It will now pull all the right content that will get them from ghosting you to going, oh, that's interesting, I need to start this conversation again. So, you know, downloading all of the overcoming objections and everything that the salespeople are seeing and reacting to in the field and going, there's a chance that this isn't moving forward based on our data, which is going to be my next question. Based on the data that we see and based on what's happening inside of this client, here's the piece of content you should serve them now. And that's my hope. That's my big wish list.
And you know, that'd be amazing. I mean, and you're right, because what we find are the salespeople that are really good at taking notes and putting all that insight into a follow-up email, you know, hey, Brent, I know we spoke 6 months ago. This was what was going on back then. You were talking about this, talking about that. Like those emails convert because it's not just a boilerplate email. It shows that you've paid attention, you've listened, but that takes time and that takes a really good note-taking. You know, and it's not easy for everybody to do that. I will say there's some really great AI tools out there that record and transcribe Zoom calls and other, you know, go to webinar.
Sure, I have one on now.
Yeah, which are amazing. I mean, some of them are really, really good. And that's to the person when you're following up, they're like, wow, Jason really paid attention to listen. But it's really the AI that's doing all the hard work, right? Right. And it's not that I wasn't listening. It's just the notes are so well done by AI that it's even better than I could have done it myself. So, you know, I think things like that are definitely going to help. And yeah, I love your idea. And, you know, I see that happening. I mean, there's no doubt that will happen for sure, you know, in the future. Yeah.
That to me would be amazing at scale. Yeah. So I use a note taker called Sybil.ai. Not only does it recap and tell you all the next steps, but it actually has, when did they nod? When did they smile?
Yeah.
Like, it's like, oh, they liked that. Oh, right. Let me go. They smiled here. Let me recap on that. Exactly. Really, really amazing. Okay. So that leads me into kind of data and metrics, right? How do you use data and metrics to drive sales process improvements and scalability? Like, what are the KPIs? What are you looking at that can help drive the sales process at scale?
So so some of these things might seem obvious, but I can't tell you how many companies out there that either we talked to, and certainly ones we haven't spoken to, that aren't doing these things. So one is a drip campaign. Everybody probably on the listening knows what a drip campaign is, but if not, it's a series of emails or touch points that'll happen over a period of time. Most companies set that up and just let it run and they don't look at anything, right? So if you're dripping every 2 weeks, every month, an email for 12 months to somebody, you need to look at that data and to see, are people opening the email, are they engaging? What emails are they engaging to? A-B test subject messages, A-B test design. We find that, which is not surprising, that plain text emails under 75 characters, not words, 75 characters, which is a really, really short email, tend to do the best in these email drip campaigns. Small little touch points, but enough uniqueness that they don't feel that they're just generic to everybody. That seems easy enough, but it is a challenge writing a really good email in 75 characters. So I would certainly challenge listeners to think about that concept.
Wait, so 75 characters. So a LinkedIn profile is 220 characters.
220, yeah. So 75, I mean, it's really challenging. Certainly we've done ones, we do a combination 75 to 150, but what we find is those really, really short emails, there's no BSing there, right? You're just driving right to the point of why you're reaching out, why you think there's value to connect. Because let's face it, you know, most people are on their phone, right? Looking at email a lot of times. 150 characters, 75 characters will fit in your screen before you have to scroll, right? So you won't have to scroll to read that whole message. So when you pop open an email and you can read that whole message without even scrolling, okay, do I respond or not respond? I don't have to sit there and read this long, lengthy email. I get a ton of emails solicited to me. And I find that people that write really long emails just clearly have no idea what we do as a company and no idea who I am. And they're just hoping that it's something in that long email catches. The reality is once I see more than one paragraph, I hit delete. So,
me too. Who has time? Yeah, they haven't earned the right. They haven't earned the right to take up that much of my time.
No, absolutely not.
So can you give me an example of what one of your emails may be that's short and sweet and converts?
So a shortened email. Okay, I'm going to sort of paraphrase here just in the interest of time. Yeah, sure. But hey, Brent, I'm reaching out to you because we know that as a online company that works with people in the social space, we've seen that the number one failure rate for retention of building new relationships is not having a CRM. Our client XYZ had the exact same problem. And in just 6 short months, we got this result for them. If this sounds of an interest to you, we'd love to talk to you further. Something like that, right?
So wait, that's more like 75 words, not 75 characters.
Exactly. I understand that. But that's me. I can't count that like that in my head, Brent, that short. But that is the paraphrasing that down to 75 characters, if you can. If I drank coffee, I'd probably have the mind capacity to do that. But you caught me off the guard.
So, in my head, if I were to put something out, I would say, struggling to fill your pipeline, click here for a free ebook that will transform your sales. And that's it. There's no more characters left.
Yeah, exactly. So yes, it's well said. Yes. Okay.
All right. So if you need someone to help with those messages, just give me a call.
Yeah, there you go.
I love that. So that's interesting. I wonder even in LinkedIn if something that short would work. And I like the idea of just getting to the point.
I have found the short stuff does work in LinkedIn. I mean, one thing that I've also been, because listen, I think, you know, every platform, LinkedIn, especially B2B, it's the major platform. There's a lot of noise out there. A lot of people reaching out that shouldn't be reaching out to people because they're just casting the wide net. Right. And so it's not targeted. And I certainly am on the receiving end, a lot of that. But I think, really, really short messaging on LinkedIn, like I love that because It's like you're just, and it's guaranteed to be read. That's the thing I like about LinkedIn. It's like, unlike your inbox, you know, it's very easy to kind of fall, you know, out of the inbox, go to the spam folder. But with LinkedIn, you're getting an alert on your phone that you got a new message and you're probably going to read it. Whether or not you respond is different, but you'll at least read it. And if it's short and maybe it makes someone smile, you know, or laugh, hey, you know, that's a good way to kind of start, you know, building a rapport.
So I want to just throw in another little tip around that is if you're sending a message to someone, you can look to see if they are currently on LinkedIn. If you get to their profile and there's a little green circle at the bottom right of their picture, they're on desktop. If there's a green circle with a white circle in the middle, they're on mobile. So if you're like, you know what, they're going to respond on mobile. They've got the app open right now. So sending one of your short messages while they're on is going to increase your odds of them responding immediately. So
yeah, that's why I love talking to you, Brent, because I didn't know that. I always learned something new when I talked to you about LinkedIn.
Ah, well, that's what I do. Anyway, so I have two more questions.
Okay.
My last question that I'm prepared with is, you know, scaling a sales process comes with a lot of challenges. Can you discuss some of the most significant challenges you've faced when either scaling your business or helping a client scale their business? And how did your technology and solution fix that?
Okay. So there's a couple of key factors. So one is you have to be doing something to generate leads, right? So without leads, there is no sales process to even need. So obviously there's outbound, right? Cold calling and things like that, but there has to be something. So I would, you know, first sort of argue, if you want to say that strong word, but to say that, what is your current process to fill the funnel, right? At the top of the funnel, what are you doing? You know, SEO, I don't really count because that's just hoping for the best, you know, but what are you actively spending money on to generate leads? So that's number one. Number two is you have to have buy-in from management and from, you know, the senior level, you know, sales team and whomever that is, that's going to help you, right? And help the team grow. Because if they don't believe in it, and if they're not using the technology in the process, then I could almost guarantee it's going to fail very, very quickly. Because there's not going to be accountability. There's not going to be any really respect for everybody if no one's using it. So those are the two biggest things that we see of why it doesn't work. You know, and then aside from that, obviously a lot of little small details in between, but those are the biggest things that we look for.
Awesome. And what do you do that helps them fix that?
Well, I mean, so my company does not provide any inbound marketing, right, at all. So, you know, we guide them on what, I'll give you just a really quick story. So I was talking to a prospect today who does commercial and residential cleaning, mostly floors and things of that such. And they're a small business, a few people, and, you know, they're looking at, you know, different CRM platforms. And I was like, listen, you're a small company, there's no doubt about it. And he was talking about trying to grow and he wasn't doing even obvious things. And now listen, this is just me with my almost 30 years of marketing experience. But I said to him, Brent, I said, listen, I don't, you know, in your market, I'm sure there are people buying houses and I'm sure there are people moving into new business locations. It's very easy to get that data. And if you were to reach out to them at the moment of when they're buying that house, when they're moving in, guess what? They're going to probably need their carpets and floors cleaned when they just moved into a new facility or a new home. Right? So why not do that versus blanket the whole neighborhood with a flyer that's not going to work? And he's like, oh, that's a really good idea. And I'm thinking to myself, I'm like, it's not really that good of a good idea. It's just a very like simple, like straightforward common sense idea to me. But it's surprising on how many businesses don't think logically about lead gen. You know, they're like, oh, we're going to do AdWords because everybody else does AdWords. Well, if your audience isn't doing, you know, looking on Google, why are you going to waste your money? And so what I often find, to answer your question, Bryn, is giving clients and even people that aren't a client that we talk to, I give them high level advice. I'm not going to go implement any of those things I tell them, but I sure to point them in the right direction to say, you know, if you're going to put all this effort in, if you're going to build a sales team, if you're going to build that process, you need to have something in place. One last quick example, trade shows. We have so many clients that do trade shows and they think they're great because they walk away with, you know, tons of leads. And I'm talking tons, maybe 100, 200, a couple hundred. And I say to them, Bryn, are they qualified leads or did they just want your free swag and the crap you were giving away, right? To get, you know, to get it, they had to give their email address. And what we find is a lot of these trade shows are not producing qualified, high quality leads. And so then I beg the question to my clients, why are you spending the money and the time to travel and go to the show and have the booth for a couple of days when it's really not your target audience that you're attracting? And so, you know, you just have to be strategic. I'm not saying it's easy, but it's easy to make the mistake. You know, it's harder to make the right choice.
Yeah, that's a good perspective for sure. So the last question.
Yes.
What question did I not ask you that I should have?
What question? Well, I think, you know, maybe one would be time frame and investment to actually get something like this off the ground would be a good question. I'm sure it's what everybody's thinking. So how about that?
Go for it.
All right. Well, what we're talking about, like I said before, it's not rocket science. It's just really applying a strategy that's been thought out, that makes sense, that aligns with the business. You know, we can write a playbook and put together a sequence of emails in less than 30 days. I mean, it's not like it's months and months worth of work. So a lot of times there's this apprehension, oh my God, this is going to take forever. It's going to take a year to build this out and all these things. It doesn't. The only thing that slows down that process is when you don't have decisive decision-making from a client. You know, they're too wobbly about who their target audience is. They're really not sure like what their differentiator is in the marketplace. Like we can't solve those problems for people. I mean, you could bring in a branding company to help fix that, but so that's, you know, so the process can be pretty quick. You know, and even the cost-wise, you have to think of it as an investment. Right. So we're not talking hundreds of thousands of dollars. You know, it might be thousands or, you know, certainly under $5,000-$10,000, you know, you can have this whole thing set up. So we're not talking about an exorbitant amount of money. It's really just investing in the future for the business, right? And for the growth of scaling your sales process. So, you know, we're just looking for smart, hungry, you know, savvy people that are running successful businesses already that really just want to take it up a notch and, you know, not having being relying on human capital to make that growth happen.
Yeah, I think that's great. How do you scale faster? I think is what it comes down to. So that's great. So thank you so much for joining. I think there were so many golden nuggets in today, and I really appreciate it. And how can people get in touch with you if they want to have a conversation?
Well, I knew if I didn't have a LinkedIn profile, we wouldn't be talking today. So you could find me on LinkedIn, Jason Lee Kramer. Lee is spelled L-E-I-G-H. You can also go to afterthelead.com, which will bring you to a lot of great resources. We have a free playbook that explains the whole lead nurturing process and provides a framework for how to apply that to your business. We often also offer email diagnostics. So if you're doing email marketing already and you're really not sure what's happening after you hit send, happy to do a free analysis on any email platform you're using to tell you really what's happening behind the scenes, as well as a bunch of other great resources. And I'll leave everybody also, Bryn, you and I know each other, but for those that don't know me, I love these conversations. You know, feel free to reach out. I will return your phone call. I'm not going to pass it off to another team member. This I'm all about just providing this type of education and resources that we talked about today to anyone that would be happy to chat with me.
Great. Thank you so much, Jason. You've brought so much value and I'm very grateful for your time. And for everyone out there, when you are out and about, don't forget to make your sales social.
Thanks for watching and join us again for more special guest instructors bringing you marketing, sales training, and social selling strategies that will set you apart. Hit the subscribe button below to get the latest episodes from the Making Sales Social podcast. Give this video a thumbs up and comment down below on what you want to hear from us next. You can also listen to us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and Google Play. Visit our website, socialsaleslink.com, for more information.